Good morning, and welcome to Simply Economics. It's Saturday, April 27th. On today's show, economics was a cause of the Great Depression, and Americans saving less could be a sign of economic strength. Plus, the city of Monroe is building an attraction along the I-20 Economic Development District. This coverage and more, up next. I'm David, and you're listening to Simply Economics. We start off with news from Figma, the collaborative design platform being acquired by Adobe for $20 billion. The startup is not waiting around for the deal to close and just announced it is adding three new generative AI features to its FigJam online whiteboard tool to help teams get projects started and organized more easily. For more on this, we're joined now by our Simply Tech correspondent. So tell us, what exactly is Figma doing with AI in FigJam?
David, Figma is leveraging generative AI in a few key ways in FigJam, which is their popular collaborative whiteboarding tool used by designers and non-designers alike to brainstorm ideas and manage projects. The first new feature helps users create a new FigJam board from scratch just by describing what they need, like a calendar or project timeline. This makes it easier to get started with a blank canvas.
Interesting. So Figma is using AI to help overcome that initial hurdle of the intimidating blank page. What else are they doing?
Well, as FigJam boards grow, they can get quite messy and disorganized with tons of digital sticky notes everywhere. So Figma developed an AI tool that can automatically sort those stickies into logical groupings by theme or task owner to bring some order to the chaos. Finally, they also added an AI summarization feature that can generate a concise summary from a sea of stickies to highlight the key points, saving users from having to manually synthesize everything.
Those sound like some handy applications of AI to make whiteboarding more efficient. But whenever AI content generation is involved, there are always concerns about inappropriate or harmful output. How is Figma handling that?
Figma says they are using OpenAI's language model as the foundation, but have customized it to understand Figma and FigJam-specific concepts. They've also put warning systems in place to prevent users from generating content outside the intended use cases that could be problematic. But you're right, it's always a concern with these large language models.
So what's the bigger picture here in terms of Figma's strategy and target market for FigJam?
It's really about democratizing visual collaboration and making it accessible to everyone, not just designers. In fact, Figma says 2/3 of FigJam's weekly active users are non-designers. Recent surveys have found over 70% of employees struggle with collaboration, so there's a huge opportunity to help there. By infusing AI, Figma is trying to make it dead simple for anyone to spin up a brainstorming session and keep things organized as ideas evolve.
It will certainly be interesting to see how the creative community takes to these new AI-powered features as they roll out in beta. Thanks for walking us through Figma's latest move. In other news, Americans are saving less according to the latest Personal Consumption Expenditures Index released by the Commerce Department. The personal saving rate, which measures how much money people keep after spending, declined to 3.2% in October, the lowest level since October 2022. This dip in savings could be a sign that some people are feeling more confident about spending. For more on what this means for the economy, let's bring in our Simply Economics correspondent. So, what are some of the reasons Americans may be choosing to spend more rather than save right now?
There are a few key factors at play. First, the high inflation we've seen over the past year means the cost of goods and services has risen substantially. So even if consumers resent paying those higher prices, many are still going ahead with purchases they feel are necessary or important. Second, a lot of households built up excess savings earlier in the pandemic when spending opportunities were limited. So they may be drawing down those reserves now, feeling less pressure to set aside as much from each paycheck. And third, among higher-income Americans especially, there seems to be an increased appetite for investment risk right now, rather than just storing money in savings accounts.
And what could that willingness to take on more investment risk signal about overall confidence in the economy.
Some economists see it as a bullish sign. If people are eager to move money out of guaranteed savings vehicles and into riskier assets like stocks, it suggests they're optimistic about the economic outlook and expect healthy returns. This risk appetite could grow even further if central banks around the world start cutting interest rates again, which would make savings accounts even less attractive. So while a falling savings rate raises some concerns about how well-equipped households are to handle financial emergencies, the reasons behind this particular decline may actually reflect economic strength.
But for many American households, a lower savings rate is still a worrisome indicator, right? What are the implications if this trend continues?
That's right. We have to be cautious about reading too much optimism into this. Savings provide an important buffer against job losses, medical issues, and other costly disruptions. So if the savings rate keeps dropping, more families could find themselves in a precarious position, unable to cover an unexpected car repair or appliance breakdown. This is especially concerning for lower and moderate income households who have much thinner financial cushions to begin with. While wealthier Americans may be happily putting their money to work in the market, those of lesser means could be depleting their savings just to afford basic necessities.
It's a complex picture then, with the savings rate telling somewhat different stories for different segments of the population. Thank you to our Simply Economics correspondent for helping us parse this latest data. We'll be keeping a close eye on the savings rate and other indicators of household financial health in the months to come. On a related note, the city of Monroe, Louisiana, is making strides to boost economic development along the I-20 corridor. The I-20 Economic Development District is home to major retail and commercial hubs like the Pecanland Mall, as well as the site of a new Amazon last-mile delivery facility currently under construction. For more on the city's efforts to attract and retain businesses in this key area, we turn to our economics correspondent. What can you tell us about the city's strategy here?
The city is taking a multi-pronged approach to making the I-20 Economic Development District an attractive destination for companies to locate and expand. Mayor Friday Ellis has been actively engaging with local businesses to understand their needs and help facilitate growth. This includes working to get additional sites certified as development ready in partnership with Energy and Louisiana Economic Development. Having an inventory of move-in ready properties is critical for landing major projects.
And it seems those efforts are already bearing fruit, with the Amazon facility marking a significant win for the district. Where does that project currently stand?
Construction on Amazon's last mile delivery station has reached a key milestone, with the building pad now complete. This lays the literal groundwork for vertical construction to begin soon. Once operational, this facility will not only bring jobs but also strengthen the district's position as a logistics and distribution hub, given its prime interstate access. In fact, Amazon's Reliability and Maintenance Engineering Division is already slated to participate in a regional job fair next month, signaling the company's ramp-up plans.
Aside from distribution, retail remains a major component of the district, anchored by the Pecanland Mall. How is the city working to support this critical asset?
Mayor Ellis highlighted the continued strong sales tax collections generated by mall tenants, even in the face of growing e-commerce. He stressed the importance of residents consciously choosing to shop at brick-and-mortar stores to keep them viable. To that end, the city is collaborating closely with mall management, working to implement their ideas and requests to boost traffic and tenant mix. The mall is also staying relevant by bringing in new concepts, like the recently announced Cellax's and iRepair Expert, which will provide smartphone and tablet repair services.
It certainly seems like a cohesive strategy to make the I-20 Economic Development District a major commercial engine for Monroe and the region. Thank you for that update. Moving from one economic powerhouse to another, let's discuss the impact of Fort Drum, the U.S. Army base located in upstate New York. According to a new report from Advocate Drum, the base had an economic impact of $2.5 billion on the surrounding region in 2023, the highest level seen in over a decade. Here with more details is our Simply Economics correspondent. Can you break down what this $2.5 billion impact represents for the local economy?
That's right, David. The $2.5 billion figure represents a significant portion, between 10 to 11% of the entire gross domestic product for the Tri-County region surrounding Fort Drum. It's a major economic engine, especially considering it comes from a single employer. The report also found that Fort Drum supported over 24,000 jobs last year, both directly and indirectly. That accounted for over 21% of the region's total wage earners, making it the largest single-site employer in all of New York State.
Those job numbers are substantial. What are some of the key industries in the area that are benefiting indirectly from having Fort Drum as an anchor institution?
The top industries seeing indirect economic benefits from Fort Drum's presence are construction, healthcare, and social services, and perhaps most notably, educational services. Fort Drum does not have its own schools on the base itself, so the influx of military families is a big driver of education jobs in the surrounding communities. Overall, the direct economic impact from Fort Drum rose by about 19% from 2022 to 2023, according to the report.
Clearly, Fort Drum is a vital economic pillar for this part of upstate New York. But as important as that is, does it also create a vulnerability if the region becomes overly dependent on the base?
That's an astute point, David. While no one would downplay the immense positive impact of Fort Drum, economic development officials do strive for diversification, so the area doesn't become too reliant on a single institution, even one as large and stable as a military base. As the chairman of Advocate Drum put it, you don't look a gift horse in the mouth, but you also don't want all your eggs in one basket. Still, the overall trends are extremely positive, with Fort Drum's economic impact steadily rising over the past few years.
Thanks for that additional context and analysis. It's a complex economic picture, but undoubtedly a vital one for the North Country region of New York. We appreciate you breaking it down for us. And with that, we wrap up our stories for today. Thanks for listening to Simply Economics. We'll see you back here tomorrow.